Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dr. Haydarian. I'm going to be presenting to you a study that we did last year when I was a fellow at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in New York. The title of the study is Physician's Knowledge and Attitude Regarding New American Heart Association Guidelines for Endocarditis Prophylaxis. First, there's no relationships to be disclosed. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what infective endocarditis is. Basically, it's just the infection of the inner lining of the heart, or endocardium. And how does it occur? Basically, any process that could introduce bacteremia to our body could cause the, this disease. And basically, what happens is the processes, for the purpose of our study, I'm going to be talking about the dental procedures. Basically, we do have bacteria in parts of our bodies, including our mouth. So what happens is with the dental procedure, there is a brief introduction of bacteremia into our body. The bacteria goes into the bloodstream and then lodges on the heart valves, or the abnormal heart valves or abnormal heart tissue, and then causes the disease. It's a life-threatening disease, and because of that, American Heart Association started its first published document regarding prevention of this disease in 1955 by giving prophylaxis to prevent this disease before the basically dental procedures. And the rationale has been to basically identify the patients at risk and to protect them against presumptive increased episodes of increased risk. The latest recommendations published in 2007, to be precise, April 19th. So basically, for the past 53 years, the American Heart Association has done the update in recommendations and guidelines in like a 10-year basis, basically. Every 10 years, they've been updating based on the research and the publications and the new evidence, their recommendations. So this, the 2007 recommendation was developed by the American Heart Association's writing group over a 3-year period. It went through a lengthy process of review, the review committee being chosen by their expertise. They included the adult and pediatric cardiologists, infectious disease specialists, dentists, epidemiologists, and surgeons. So basically, they sat together and they decided to let's see, based on the evidence and you know, the published studies, to see if really the dental procedures are the cause of infective endocarditis. So do we need to give antibiotic prophylaxis before the procedures? And the objectives were that in an era of growing concern over the use and misuse of antibiotics, we need to focus primarily on specifics of the prophylaxis. We do need to prevent the infection, but then again, we're going to have to think about the antibiotic resistance and the excessive use or misuse, and obviously the cost issue as well. So when they looked at the evidence and the published studies, they found out that actually infective endocarditis is much more likely to happen with just an exposure to random bacteremias during activities of daily living, like toothbrushing or flossing, or even chewing food. To just give you an interesting figure, if you brush your teeth twice in a day for one whole year, you have 154,000 times more increased risk to getting a bacteremia rather than having like your tooth pull out only once in a year. So basically, that's how much exposure we do have on a daily basis. And they found that, you know, although the prophylaxis has been preventing some number of infective endocarditis, but those numbers have been so exceedingly small. And we do need to think about the risks of the antibiotic-associated adverse effects, like rash, you know, allergic reactions, diarrhea, you know, any GI upset, or in a very rare instances, anaphylactic shock in death due to the basically severe allergic reaction to antibiotics. So basically, they did suggest that actually optimal oral hygiene may reduce the incidence rather than just giving the antibiotics for prophylaxis. So what are the major changes in the updated recommendations? Basically, they decided that the people with underlying cardiac conditions that are associated with the highest risk of adverse outcome are like eligible to get the antibiotic prophylaxis. What are those conditions? Basically, there are only four conditions that they're recommending based on the new update. Patients with the prostatic valves, patients with the history of infective endocarditis, recipients of cardiac transplants with valvulopathy, and only a small percentage of patients with congenital heart disease. To be specific, the cyanotic congenital heart diseases that have been have not been actually repaired, or if they have been repaired, they've been repaired with prosthetic material, or they've been repaired with residual defect. So they would still have problems with the flow, or they would still have problems with the leakage, basically. So those are the ones eligible to receive. Even for the patients with these kind of underlying cardiac conditions, the prophylaxis is recommended only for some dental procedures, being the ones that have to do with the manipulation of gingival tissue or the periapical region of the teeth, or has to do with the perforation of oral mucosa. So basically, just because of an increased lifetime risk of acquisition of infective endocarditis, you're not supposed to be getting the prophylaxis. So what about our study? I do apologize, our picture didn't come out quite all right. This is the LIJ Health System. We wanted to evaluate the knowledge and compliance of physicians regarding the new American Heart Association recommendations and guidelines. So what we did was we developed a one-page brief survey. It was only made up of seven questions. We distributed it to physicians of different subspecialties, and we basically distributed them during grand rounds at three different, we picked three major teaching hospitals in New York area. Our subjects were primary care physicians and geriatricians, cardiologists and dentists, since those are primarily the ones who prescribe antibiotics. With the help of our wonderful statisticians, a descriptive analysis was performed to calculate the percentage of survey variables related to prophylaxis. And in addition, the chi-square was implemented for differences related to antibiotic prophylaxis and the gender, nature of specialty, age, and the years in practice. So who did we include? Basically all physicians in primary care, geriatricians, cardiologists, and dentists who were practicing, actively practicing, either in a hospital care setting or the private practice, or both. And if you were a physician who were not actively practicing, actively meaning you're seeing patients and getting compensations for them, or if you did not meet the proposed subspecialties, basically you were not included. So like physicians in purely academics or administration, they were excluded. We had 186 surveys completed for data analysis. The majority of the responders were primary care physicians and geriatricians, almost 48%. Cardiologists made up 16%, dentists 11.3%, and 80% of them all were males. Most of them, like 46.2%, had been in practice for less than 10 years, fairly new. Over half were practicing strictly in a hospital setting. So basically, this slide shows you what we just talked about, the big chunk of our physicians. 48% were primary care physicians and geriatricians, cardiologists 16%, 11% dentists, 25% others, others meaning nephrologists, rheumatologists, hem-onc, or other subspecialties. With regard to physician practice years, again, 46% of our physicians were in practice for less than 10 years, 40% were practicing between 10 and 30 years, and 13.4% were in practice for more than 30 years. The nature of practice, as we mentioned, over half of the physicians were practicing only in the hospital settings. 22% were only private practice, and 25.8% were practicing both in the private practice and the hospital settings. Our survey questionnaires, the first question had to do with the knowledge part. So basically, we were asking them if they know, we were assessing their knowledge about, you know, the 2007 recommendations. And about 59% of the physicians knew, actually, that the latest recommendations had been updated in 2007. 17.2% and 16.1% of the physicians dated the recommendations back to 2006 and 2003, respectively. again, as you see on this slide, 59% were aware of the new updates in 2007. 40.3% dated it between 1994 and 2006. We also had like specifics of a prescription. Basically, we went by the specific conditions that you were supposed to be giving the antibiotics prophylaxis, but not anymore, based on the new recommendations. And 41% would prescribe to patients with any kind of a congenital heart disease. So basically, if you had any kind of a congenital heart disease, you would get antibiotic prophylaxis no matter what. Remember, only a specific kind of a congenital heart disease is eligible to receive the prophylaxis, not all of them, but 41% would still prescribe. Almost 48% would prescribe to patients with mitral valve prolapse with regurg. Now, mitral valve prolapse with regurg is one of the commonest of the cardiac conditions. Pretty much females are getting basically, they have this condition. And based on the new recommendations, they do not get the prophylaxis anymore. But I mean, 48% of our physicians would still prescribe. 66.1% would prescribe in patients with rheumatic heart disease. Again, rheumatic heart disease is one of the conditions that used to get the prophylaxis, but not anymore. The big chunk of our physicians, actually, 94% and almost 96% would prescribe to patients with previous history of bacterial endocarditis and patients with prosthetic heart disease. Again, these are the conditions that have not been changed over the years, so they're pretty standard of care. So when we compared the physicians who were aware of the 2007 update with the ones who did not know about the new updates, we found pretty significant differences in terms of the prescriptions. Again, for the three conditions, congenital heart disease, mitral valve prolapse with regurg, and rheumatic heart disease. Again, these are the conditions that the change has been made since the 2007 update. But there was no difference for prosthetic heart valve and history of bacterial endocarditis. Again, I guess with this slide, the point of the matter is, if you are a physician who are aware of the 2007 guidelines and the update, chances are that you would practice it. So at the end, basically, we concluded that there are still a majority of physicians that they are not aware of the updates, and they don't have the knowledge. We do need to have studies done, and it's a physician's responsibility to increase their knowledge. If I, as a physician, have a knowledge about the updates and the guidelines, I would transfer that knowledge to my patients. So together, we could make a better decision of further management. And regarding the physicians who are aware of the updates, but for some reason they don't feel comfortable to follow the guidelines, we need to have some studies done to make sure how do we get them to follow, and how do we make sure that they feel comfortable enough to basically follow the guidelines. And I thank you for listening.